people as a whole, that I believe that you have some general idea about where you're going to be. Whether it's going to be heaven or whether it's going to be hell. If you would, to Mark chapter 13, I'd like to read there, and then we'll get started with our discussion of the subject tonight. Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming, suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. In the military, they have a watch. It's around the clock normally. And people are forever watching for whatever might transpire, especially during the time of war. I can remember when in Parris Island that I had to walk guard duty next to the swamp. And those drill instructors had told us that if we tried to go out through the swamp, that the alligators would get us. I walked that watch for 4 hours. And every noise, I was 17 years of age, and every noise that I heard, I thought that one of those creatures was coming up out of that water to get me. We also had what they called a fire watch. That is where young men would walk the squad bays to make sure that a fire didn't start. We were very alert. We were very watchful. Most of us have been in situations where we have been watchful, where we have been very careful. But in the context, as Jesus calls upon the people to watch, he calls upon all of them to watch. Not just one, not just one lone man walking a perimeter, but calling upon every one of them to be diligent, to open their eyes to see what was around about them. That song that we sang, When I've Gone the Last Mile of the Way, is normally sung in reference to someone who has passed away. And it's supposed to give comfort to those who are yet alive. Sometimes I wonder just how much comfort that it really does give. We often speak of sermons in reference to the second coming of Christ. And we talk about looking forward to the time in which we will be drawn up to be with him, to be judged of him, and then eternity will begin. Tonight I'd like for us to try just a little thing, a little different. Now I want to assume, beloved, that the Lord came yesterday. You think we can get through it by looking at it that way? That the Lord came yesterday. And because he came yesterday, we have been judged. Judgment is over. All the excuses some think that they're going to get to make, everything, it's all over. The earth has ceased to exist. The houses that we once lived in are gone. The cars that we drove are gone. The clothing that we wore are gone. All the certificates that we received throughout our lives that we hung on our walls are gone. everything that said anything in reference to this earth is gone. What if Jesus came yesterday? If Jesus had come yesterday, it would be silencing a lot of things that go on today. We're concerned about Afghanistan and Iraq and whether or not Pakistan is going to get pulled into it. We hear of the pirates as they, from Somalia, are taking hostages on the high seas. We wonder where the next high spot is going to be. Well, there won't be one. There won't be another war. There'll never be any more bloodshed. The lust that had been in place, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's all gone. Working ourselves silly from sunup to sunset to accumulate things, don't have to worry about that anymore. Criticism, listening to criticism from different areas, whether it be religious, secular, whether it be from the elders or, God forbid, a preacher. We don't have to listen to that anymore. Crime, there's no more murder, no more rapes, no more robberies. There's no crying of some young child, maybe even in our own city, because he or she is going to bed hungry. All of that is gone. It exists no more. Everything that said earth, be it good or be it bad, it's gone. It no longer exists. If Jesus came yesterday, would mean that each of us would now be in eternity. Each one of us that are now seated here, if the Lord came yesterday, we wouldn't be seated here. And we would now be in eternity, regardless of what men say, that it does not exist. I direct your attention to John chapter 5, if you'd like to take your Bible there, and I pray that you would. And if you don't have your Bible with you, I say it in kindness, but shame on you. We came to study the Word of God, and you can't do much studying if you don't have the textbook. John chapter 5, and there verse 28. The hour is coming. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Judgment was yesterday. The righteous and the ungodly stood before God. Ones who believe in the Scripture have no doubt about that whatsoever. Eternity. You're in it. You're in the middle of it. Well, I don't guess you're in the middle of it, because there'll no longer be a middle. You're just there. The question is not, would we be in eternity? The question is, where will you be in eternity? Where will you be in eternity? The Bible clearly teaches us that there are only two places in which we can be. Only two places in which we can be. Either heaven or hell. No other way. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25.
We used this passage, some of it, the other day. But in Matthew chapter 25, I'd like for us to read verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked, or clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it. You did it to me." Service. Your service. Your doings is what he is saying. Those who are going to be in heaven are those who have served the Lord. Those who have done his will. In John chapter 14, let's read that also. In John chapter 14, there beginning with verse 1 and going on through verse 4, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." But then there's a place called hell. And you know, about the only time we hear that word anymore is when it's used as what many of us would say was a cursed word or curse word. It's gotten so where in many churches you very seldom hear the word itself, as if it has become taboo. But in Matthew chapter 25 and there verse 41, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And he goes, as we read last evening, he goes and then says, "When I was in prison, you didn't come. When I was sick, you didn't minister to me. You just didn't do anything for me whatsoever." In other words, when you didn't serve your fellow man, you didn't serve me. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. So we ask the question again, where would we be? You don't live on earth anymore. You're in eternity. Where is this soul of yours? Is it with God worshiping? Is it with God rejoicing? Is it with God singing with that great chorus along with the angels that are there in God's heaven? Or is it hell, where there is pain, where there is torment, where there is misery, where there is no hope of escape whatsoever? If Jesus had come yesterday, where would you be right now? You see, it's hard for us really to allow that to get into our minds because we know he didn't come yesterday. And so we sort of think it through and say, well, you know, it didn't happen, so therefore. One day, if the Lord tarries, you're going to die. If he doesn't tarry and you're still alive, you're going to wake up on the other side of eternity. And you're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. Let me ask you a question. If you're married, where's your mate going to be? Does that concern you? We know the scriptures say, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Peter speaks of us being joint heirs together in the marriage relationship. In other words, it should be the desire of both man and woman, though they will not be married in the heavens, that they will at least be there together in the heavens. Is your wife more apt to be in heaven because she is married to you, or were married to you, or was married to you, rather, yesterday? Is the possibility of your wife being in heaven because she was married to you yesterday? What about your children? Where would your children be right now? Where would your children be right now if they have reached that accountable age? Would they be in heaven or would they be in hell? And I am convinced, beloved, as surely as I stand here, that most of us that are in this assembly tonight, we have some general idea that if we were on the other side of judgment, that Jesus came yesterday, we have some general idea where we would be right now. Don't. Where would you be if Jesus came yesterday? You'd be in eternity. Would you be in heaven? Or would you be in hell? If Jesus had come yesterday, let's think of it, that is your life, as it was yesterday. Were you about your father's business before he came? Jesus told his parents, I must be about my father's business. How much of the father's business are you doing, or had you done yesterday and days before? You see, you can't do it now. Not that earthly work that he would have you to do. Because you see, that work has concluded. Let me ask another question. Yesterday, were you expecting the Lord to come? Or were you busy just going through the activities of life? You know, you got up yesterday morning. You put your britches on. You got all cleaned up, all dutied up. You got ready for work. Maybe even had a little breakfast. You're ready for the day. Your minds were on physical things, no doubt. Did you pray before you left home? Did you think about God at all yesterday before the Lord came? Did you give any thought whatsoever to God and His work, or but were you so concerned about, you know, I've got this big project at work, or the kids have all of these different projects at school? What was your mind on yesterday? In 2 Timothy 4, and there verse 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. Paul hadn't died yet. But what was Paul thinking of? He says, I'm about to leave the earth. I'm about to die. My life is over. But I want you to know, he tells us, that I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. My whole life after becoming a Christian, I did what the Lord wanted me to do. Paul was expecting to go and be with the Lord. He wrote to the Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." You see, he didn't fear eternity. He didn't fear being with God. Why? Because of his faith. And if your faith is as it should be right now, you should be thinking, how glorious it's going to be, David. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be with the faithful of all ages. It's going to be great. That's how the Christian ought to be thinking. And that's the way we ought to think every day, as if every day of our life could be the last one, and it would be the day that I'd stand before God and then get to go home. As a Christian, let me ask you a question. Yesterday, were you indifferent to the church that Jesus Christ died for? Did you put the emphasis upon the kingdom that it ought to have placed upon it? Or was it to some degree almost like a social club to us, that we will come when we want to, speak against it ever so often, and say that God will overlook us? Revelation 3:16, as he spoke to the church at Laodicea, he said, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." What God wanted from us yesterday, what he wanted from us yesterday, was total commitment. He didn't want us to be lukewarm. He wanted us to be burning up with enthusiasm and zeal and dedication. Were you indifferent yesterday to the kingdom of God? Yesterday, I'll leave that there. Did you have coldness towards a brother and sister in Christ? Was there some brother or sister yesterday that you could not stand being around? You didn't like them. You didn't love them. And you didn't mind them knowing that that was the situation. In John chapter 13, Jesus had to speak to his disciples that he was going to leave behind to do the work that needed to be done. In John 13, and there verse 33, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and I said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. And so now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." I, for the life of me, do not understand, when we were in yesterday's life, why we thought that it would be beneficial to us or anyone else for us to have something against a brother or sister. What was it about scriptures that told us that that was the thing to do, that was the thing to be? In Matthew chapter 18, yesterday, was there someone that you owed an apology to? Someone that you hurt before yesterday. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. It goes on the other steps about if he doesn't, but I want to talk about the offense itself. Was there a brother that you needed to apologize to yesterday? Someone that you needed to walk up to and say, I'm sorry for whatever I have said or whatever I have done. You're God's child. I'm God's child. We can work through this. Did you owe someone an apology yesterday? What was your relationship with Christ yesterday? Was it good? Or was it bad? You know, in Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When we stood before God on judgment, because you see, it's over. Yesterday, before he came, were we confessing him before men? Were we acknowledging him in every walk of our life yesterday? Or did we maybe let it slide a little bit when one of our closest friends said something derogatory about him? When one of our professors may have said something about only fools believe in God. What was our relationship with Christ yesterday? If Jesus had come yesterday, today would be too late for some things. It would be too late to learn of the Lord and to love him. Jesus said in John 14 and there verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's too late now. Because you see, he came yesterday. I didn't get to learn him. I didn't get to love him. Or I may have known him, but I didn't show it. I didn't show it. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy 2. And verse 15. It would be too late for me to handle aright the word of God, that is the Bible. This is the mind of God. This is the will of God. This is the heart of God. If I didn't handle it aright yesterday, it's too late to do it today. Cause of judgment. While we were upon the earth, we could have, as Paul had written to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hasten to do a thing. I always meant to get that done. I always wanted to do that. Oh, I was going to obey the Lord a little later on. But if Jesus came yesterday, we waited too late. If Jesus had come yesterday, it'd be too late to be faithful in our attendance. Let me ask each one of you, are you faithful in attendance? Are you at the worship services of the Lord? Did you, before yesterday, make sure that you were in attendance when the kingdom of God assembled? Too late to be faithful in attendance since the Lord came yesterday. If He came yesterday, it's too late to preach the gospel. Isn't it interesting to know that we understood that in Mark's account that Jesus called upon His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? I can't tell anybody now. I can't tell that person I loved, that person I was always going to get to, if Jesus came yesterday and I never visited that person with God's truth, he or she is lost because I waited too late. I waited too long. It'd be too late to give as God has prospered us, to give as a cheerful heart. Let's put it this way. If last Lord's Day, when you gave or did not give, how would that contribution that you made last Lord's Day, if that was the only one you could give, how would it have fared as God looked at it? I said the other day, and I think it's true, when we were alive on earth, because you see, it all ended yesterday. I bought my house with the Lord's money. I sent my kids to school with the Lord's money. I bought my car with the Lord's money. If the Lord came yesterday, it's too late to think about prayer. You know, before yesterday, I always intended of being a man of prayer. Even though Paul had warned me that I ought to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there verse 17. You know, before yesterday, I really did intend to obey the gospel. I really had looked forward to one day saying, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know, I was going to confess Him, John 8:24. I was really going to repent of my sins, as Jesus said in Luke 13 and there verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, I meant to be immersed. For yesterday, I meant to do all of that. But it's too late. Because yesterday ended it all, Jesus came. And because He came, then it's too late for me to love Him and learn of Him. It's too late for me to handle aright the Word of God. It's too late to be faithful in attendance. It's too late to preach the gospel. It's too late to give. It's too late to speak to my Father. It's too late to be saved. If the Lord had come yesterday, only redeeming quality that this sermon has is he didn't come yesterday. And because you're listening to this sermon tonight, it means he hasn't come yet. But he's coming. And it could have just as easily been yesterday or before we get home tonight. And if he doesn't come, it may be that you're dead before tonight's over. And it's the same thing. You're close enough to the hospitals to hear the sirens on a regular basis. A lot of times what those sirens mean is another man or another woman has left the face of this earth. And now they are headed towards heaven or headed towards hell at judgment. That's what I would like for all of us to think when we hear that thing. I'd like for us to think about eternity and where we are headed. Again, Jesus did not come yesterday, but as we read from Mark 13, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. You know, Jesus has extended his invitation. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Someday, God is going to cease extending that invitation. There are those right now in this assembly. You're lost. You're without God. And you're without hope. And if the Lord were to come right now, you would be in eternity. In heaven or hell is where you'll go. If you've never become his child, heaven can't be home for you. It can't be. And that's sad. Because he's done everything possible except to make you a robot. He's done everything possible to get you ready so that you could come to his home and live with him forever and ever. He's done everything that he could to keep you out of hell. But as long as you keep denying him, as long as you keep saying no to his invitation, because of his justice, that's where he must place you. Because you made the choice. You decided. What if Jesus had come yesterday? I'm grateful that he didn't, because it meant that I got to preach this lesson. No doubt some of you needed to hear it. Well, let's say some of us. Because you see, every sermon preached, I need it too. Let's not take our time for granted. Let's prepare ourselves so that we can go home. So that we can be in heaven, singing God's praises with that great chorus. If you are a child of God and you've gone back into the world, come back out of it. Ask God's forgiveness. And once again, let's go home. while we stand and as we sing.